All right, I'd like to invite you to turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Leslie, can you set that on the first slide, please? Oh, is that Robert? All right. That's going to be our first passage that we're going to be looking at this morning, but I wanted to put up a picture up there. We're having some technical difficulties this morning. You know, Madeline, we have to pray for Madeline, our piano player, because she got shingles and is not doing well. And then Dan, our guy that's normally in the booth back there, he had to run up to Oklahoma, and people were breaking into his relative's home and staying in there, setting fires inside the house, and just bad stuff going on inside. And so he had to go up there and board it all up yesterday and today. And so, you just run into issues. But, well, I was going to put a slide up here of the movie Schindler's List I was going to start off with. And you all remember the actor. His name is Liam Neeson. Okay, he's a tremendous. It's hard to believe it's been 25 years since this movie was made. I just can't believe it. It's been a long time since I've watched the movie. But it's one of those movies. It's in the top five of my favorite movies of all time. I mean, it's very grim because it's about the Holocaust, of course. And so it's very, very difficult to watch. And, I mean, some of the scenes in that movie, you know, with the gas chambers, and it's very, very difficult. And the end is very, very powerful, though. But Oskar Schindler was a German. In fact, he was a Nazi. He was a Nazi. But he had a factory with a lot of workers in it that were Jewish. And Oskar Schindler, he wasn't going to, even though he was a Nazi, he wasn't going to follow Hitler. He started to say, hey, how can we get people who are Jewish? There he is on the right, Liam Neeson. How can we get people that are Jewish? How can we protect them? How can we keep them from going to Dachau and Auschwitz and the different, killing places in Germany that were just so awful? How can we do this? And Schindler's List was the list of people that they had, that he was protecting, that he, you know, was watching over. He loved his family. He loved his wife. He loved his children. But you know what? Oskar Schindler, in that day in Germany, by the way, it's a true story, he didn't just love those on the inside of his family. He loved those that everybody around him were hating, which was people from the nation of Israel. And you know what? We're talking now in early 2019 about the Holy Spirit. We sang earlier, come, Lord Jesus, come. And come, Spirit of God, come. We were singing. Well, we all know that He's already dwelling in us. We're not asking Him to come and dwell inside of us. We're asking God to come in newness, in freshness, in power. That's what we need at the beginning of a new year. We need to be encouraged through God's word. We need to hear God speaking to our hearts and into our minds about eternal matters. And so what we're going to do, Leslie, I'm going to have you turn, because I don't see them on my end over here. So I'm just going to have to say next slide, please, because they're not showing up. And so you can take care of it for me. But let's do this morning. We're talking about today the Holy Spirit's ministry to people outside the family of God and to people inside. Today, mostly people outside the family of God. Next week and the weeks to follow, at the end, I'm going to kind of give you a heads up of some of the messages that you'll be hearing over the next, say, 8 weeks or so, maybe more, but probably at least two months of messages about God's Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God. But today we're going to focus on what's he doing among unbelievers, because this is important, You know, when we have football Sunday, we're not having football Sunday just to show three videos. We're having football Sunday, so we'll pray. We'll seek God. We'll seek the Spirit of God and say, God, use this to bring people to you. And we'll get busy. We'll bring some people with us. Listen, if everybody brought one person, what an impact we could have. Young people, if you brought one friend that you think that may need the Lord, or even if they already know the Lord, bring them. Just think of the impact that we could have on one Sunday. And to see them listening to these men that are pro football players share their faith, it's going to be powerful. And so let's start praying right now. You know, we're just getting started. You're going to get flyers. We're going to get you some flyers in your hands that you could pass out. We've got 3 weeks, but we need to begin with prayer. If we try to do this without the Holy Spirit's help, it will not bring anybody to Christ. And we probably won't be able to get people to come, but if we pray and seek and say, Holy Spirit, come, Jesus, come and work mightily, well, we might see God do an amazing work. But it takes all of us seeking God and doing His bidding. All right, so we're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to talk primarily about how the Holy Spirit works among unbelievers, but then I'm going to give you a taste of just some real quick points at the end, and then what messages are to come. But let's have a word of prayer first again, because we need God's work in our hearts. Father, we praise You today, Father, because of Your word. Thank You for the music, Lord, and thank You for the songs that lifted us up to Your throne, Lord. Lord, thank You that You won't relent, You won't quit until, Lord, You've drawn us to Yourself and just conquered, Lord, our lives, and we've submitted and we've laid down our lives to Your honor and glory, Lord. Lord, You want all of us. You want all of our hearts. You don't want half. You don't want three quarters. You don't want 95%, Lord. You want it all, Lord. And so, Lord, help us to have, Lord, help us to have that spirit. You're always throughout our life going to be bringing up new things that You want from us. But Lord, right where we're at right now, this very day, we can give it all to You, Lord, and say, Lord, to the best of my knowledge, Lord, I'm submitting myself wholly and completely to You. Holy Spirit of God, please work through me and use it in the hearts of Your people. And we pray it in Your precious name, Lord Jesus, the name above every name. Amen. All right, the Spirit's ministry to unbelievers. Can we put that next slide up? Yes. All right. Now, there's two here that I want to focus on. Two things the Spirit's doing in people that have no, listen, people that have no idea that there's a problem as far as eternity's concerned. Now, some do because they've been witnessed to before, but most people walking around us have no earthly idea that just not very far ahead of them is a cliff spiritually that they're going to fall off of into eternal destruction and damnation. It's just awful. They don't even know it. They think, in their minds, this is kind of how they think. Well, I'm not as bad as that murderer on television I saw last night. I'm not as bad as this person or that person. I'm a lot better. That's the way they think. I used to think that. I remember when I was a teenager. I can remember this clearly. John Wayne Gacy, he had abused all these children and killed them and put them in his basement, in his crawl space, actually, under his house. And he would dress up like a clown, and then he would go to these parties, and then it was just awful. But I remember seeing him, and I said, I wasn't even a Christian, but I remember watching that and thinking to myself, there's the people that are going to burn in hell. You know what I mean? Implied, I'm not going to burn in hell because I don't do that kind of garbage, right? That's kind of how lost people think, unless they've been witnessed to, unless somebody's got a hold of them and they're kind of wavering and they're thinking, man, I don't know if that's right. Okay, there's others, but most people are going through life thinking everything's just fine, everything's going to be okay. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Well, first of all, number one, there's an interesting passage in Genesis. This is what I had you turn to, Genesis 6. This is the context. We're getting close to Noah's flood here. She's going to bring a flood and wipe out because people get very, very evil on earth. The whole earth becomes very evil. Okay? Genesis 6:3. The Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh. Yet his days shall be 120 years. Okay, next slide, please. What is that word strive? Oh, it's hard to see. But that right there, it says contend, argue, or remain. Those are some of the ways that word can be defined. To strive with a person, like if there's strife, there's argument. So this is the kind of word that could mean the Spirit striving with human beings, or could even mean like kind of arguing with them. Now, not in a bad way. The Holy Spirit isn't evil, but he's striving. He's saying one thing to them, and the world around them is saying another thing. He's saying one thing to them, and their hearts are saying another. There's stubbornness in human beings. So he's arguing, he's contending, and the word also can mean remain. My spirit will not always remain. Now, if you take it that way, here's what the Lord might be saying. There's two different ways you could take this verse, depending on how, and you know what, by the way, I'll just say this. Scholars have a real struggle here because that word in Hebrew is only used one time in the Old Testament. So it really makes it difficult to define what words mean accurately if it's only used once, okay? So if it's this way, if this is little s, my spirit, or my breath shall not remain with man forever. If it's being that way, remember God breathed into Adam life? Well, if God takes the breath out of a human, everybody, what happens to that human? Physically, they die. So he might be saying here, God Almighty might be saying, my breath, little s, little b, my breath shall not remain with man forever because he's human, he's flesh, yet his days on earth shall be 120 years. If it's taken that way, he might be saying something like this. I'm not always going to leave man alive here on this earth. Yet, I'm going to give mankind, that word man means mankind, I'm going to give mankind 120 more years before I shut the door on the ark. Remember how many years did Noah preach? 120. So, if that's the way we take strive here, my breath won't always stay in men. They're going to all kick the bucket. In fact, if you go back two chapters in Genesis and read Genesis 4, Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sin. And sin passed upon all humanity because all have sinned. Romans 5:12. Adam and Eve sin in Genesis 3. What do you read in chapter 4? And so-and-so gave birth to so-and-so, and he lived so many years, and he died. And so-and-so gave birth to so-and-so, and he lived so many years, and he died, 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 and he died. What's God trying to say? The wages of Genesis 3, sin is... Right. Exactly. You know what? Sin, I've told you this before, it's like playing 21. It's like playing blackjack. Hit me. Hit me. Hit me. Game over. You can't keep saying, hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me, hit me, hit. Because once you hit 21, the game's over. And with humanity. You ever see on TV like somebody that got arrested and they were dealing meth or they were using methamphetamines? And they're like 27 years old and they look like they're 68. They're all chewed up by the drugs and by the life. They can't take care of themselves. Their hair is all over the place. Just awful. In fact, one time I was counseling a young lady in my office, and her husband was there, and they were young. But I was trying to shake these people out of this addiction they had to that garbage. And I asked the lady, I said, how old are you? She said, I'm 32. I said, you look like you're 52. You say, Pastor Bob, that's so mean. Not always. Sometimes people need that. Remember the old commercial? Thanks. I needed that. Sometimes when things get desperate and people are about to kill themselves, you want to stick a mirror in front of them and say, look what sin is doing to you. Okay, that's what God... And so this could be taken that way. My breath will not always remain with man forever. He's flesh. Yet his days will be. I'll give him 120 more years. I'll give mankind 120 more years. But that ark door is shutting. And if they're not on the ark, kaput. Or it could mean this. They're both great ways of looking at it. My capital S Spirit, my Holy Spirit, shall not strive with mankind. He's not going to argue with them forever. You need Jesus. You need the coming Messiah. You need eternal life. I don't want any of that. Okay, listen, does God work with people forever? Now, here's the bottom line. I don't know, because it's very hard to find a scripture that says that God might cut that off before death. It's possible, but it's hard to be dogmatic about it. I don't want to say, listen, if you don't stop being stubborn and stop rejecting God and rejecting His Spirit, He's just going to stop. Now, the New Testament says, don't quench the Spirit. So that's kind of some data, and we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about a lot of things. Don't, you know, grieve the Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. But anyway, this could very well mean the Spirit's not going to contend with people forever, their flesh, and I'm going to bring the lifespan of humans down to 120 years. I'm not going to let them live 900 years anymore. I'm not going to let them. That's another. A lot of people see this as human lifespan. Okay, so we don't worry about it. What we get from this, everybody, is God, Spirit, or God, He's working with humanity, and He's trying to win them over to the truth. But humans tend to be very stubborn. Humans tend to be very evil. They love sin rather than light. Remember that verse in John chapter 3? Men love darkness rather than light. They love sin rather than the light of God because their deeds were evil. They want to keep... They want to be their own boss. They've made God in their own image. They say, hey, listen, I'm God. I decide what I'm going to do in my life. Nobody's telling me what to do. Okay, but... your days will be 100, you're only going to live so long. And then death comes, okay? So God is striving with mankind, and He's contending with them. You know, next slide, please. The book of Acts, the New Testament, you get this kind of idea here. Stephen's preaching to Israel, the religious leaders. Man, he preaches this long message, and boy, is he a good preacher. And he sticks his finger out. You say, Pastor Bob, you said that to that lady? Well, listen what Stephen says to the religious leaders. The guys and all, they're standing there in their fancy robes. And they're all the religious guys. And he says to them, you stiff-necked, you stubborn, and uncertain. Oh, boy, you talk about when you call a Jew an uncircumcised Philistine. Woo! They'll just go off. But he called them. He said, you uncircumcised in heart. He says, your body's circumcised, but your heart and your ears are not. They're covered with gunk. They're covered with garbage. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears. You always resist the Spirit as your ancestors did. So do you. Wow. Hey, would God say that about us? Are we stubborn when it comes to God? We want to do life our own way? We want to use our own blueprints instead of using God's blueprint? Instead of using the Word of God? We want to use our own mind, our own ways? I'm smarter than God. I know better than... Oh, really? Wow. Wow. The one who hangs the moon in the perfect place, the stars, that power... that might, Almighty God, you're smarter than God. I remember one time, I don't have this in my notes, but I remember the story about this atheist. This is a long time ago. I think this is like in the 40s or 50s. He's arguing with this believer in a forum. They're having a debate. And the believer was talking about the creation of God, how it shows us the power of God and His wisdom and His might and power. And this atheist is like, yeah, but I think the creation stinks. If I was God, I could do a lot better job. You know, I wouldn't have done it the way He did it. He made a lot of mistakes in the way He created everything. And the the believer on the other side, he was smart enough and sharp enough, and he says, okay. He says, you know what, I'll tell you what. You say you could do better than God in creating everything. He says, okay, I'll tell you what. I won't ask you to create a universe. How about a rabbit? Let's start there. Make a rabbit. And that guy's like, whoa. Yeah. Yeah, he thinks he's so great and mighty. God made a universe that's 14 billion light years across. This guy can't even crank a rabbit out. Yeah, they were stiff-necked. They wanted their way and not God's. Look at what the Apostle Peter said about the flood and about Noah and about God here in this next slide. Peter said the divine, heavenly God. This is talking about God, talking about the Spirit, talking about the Godhead. The divine, long-suffering. God was very patient, very long-suffering. It means just that. Long endurance with people. He puts up with people that just don't want to listen to him, but not forever. The divine long-suffering waited. No, hey, listen, these people, listen, you think my sermons are long? Noah preached for 120 years. Not one sermon, but I know that mine feel that way sometimes. Man, he's been preaching for 120 years. Okay, I get it. But anyway, the divine long-suffering, God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. 120 years he had to sit there and listen to a human being saying, no. And guess what? You know how many people listen to God, everybody? 8. Noah, Mrs. Noah, Noah's 3 sons, and Noah's 3 daughter-in-laws. 8 people. Think about that. Think about if that happened today. Think about if in Dallas a guy started building an ark right next to I-30 in downtown. This giant boat. And he's out there preaching every day. He's letting his sons work. And he gets out there. Hey, I'm going to preach today. Here it's noontime. It's lunchtime. And I'm going to preach at lunchtime about the coming Savior, the coming Messiah, and the coming flood. Hey, everybody. God's going to send a flood. It hasn't even rained. And he's going to send a flood. It's never rained on earth. And they laughed and laughed 120 years. Noah's trying to convince them. Listen, it's coming. It's going to happen. One day, got all the animals on the ark. Noah and his family got on, 8 people, and it says that God shut the door. The power of God closed that door. It's symbolizing that mankind, God's days of waiting were over. God closed. Hey, when God closes a door, and what? No one can open it. Mm-hmm. They're dead. And all mankind died. God started over. So, that's the Spirit of God. Now listen, I'm going to say this. Later in the series, we're going to talk about this idea of, I'm sure some of you are thinking about this, we're going to talk about this idea of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. It's called, the Bible doesn't call it this, but it's called the unpardonable sin. But that's not really a good name for it. We're going to talk about that. Jesus says whoever commits this sin is going to, will never be forgiven. You'll never be forgiven. Okay? Okay, so that's number one. The Spirit of God. How does he work among humanity? He's striving with them. He's working with them. Okay, that's number one. Number two, very similar. This is in the New Testament. Now we go to the New Testament. John 16, very similar to striving is the idea of convicting mankind. He not only strives with them, he convicts them. That's a word that means convince in some places. He's trying to convince people of something. Okay. Hey, by the way, is the temperature good in here today? As of last week, it was like an igloo. I'm so sorry about that. Is it, how many of you are too warm? Okay. Okay, not too many. How many are cold? So you're all pretty, it's pretty good. How many are pretty good? Okay, pretty good? All right. Okay, we're trying. I upped it 1 degree today. So because last week, man, I'm so sorry. I was so into the message that I wasn't noticing your teeth were chattering out there. Yeah, and you're out there. Okay. So, now, when Jesus was on earth, Follow me here. When Jesus was on earth, he told his apostles, I've got to go away. I've got to go away. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you through the Holy Spirit. When he was on earth, he was making a case. He was there personally. He was making a case for sin and righteousness and judgment. Go ahead and put that scripture up there. When he says, I'm going, but I'm going to go away. He's on earth. He's saying, I'm from God. I'm righteous. I'm holy. I'm the Son of God. He's making a case. I'm God Almighty. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the only Savior. He was making his own case. But what about when he leaves? What's going to happen? You and I and the apostles, we're all going to make a case because he's going to go away, but he's going to put right inside of you and I, he's going to put his Spirit. When he, the Spirit, has come, he will, future, he will convict the world. He will convict all humanity, the world, everyone. He will convict everyone of sin. Notice, this is not sins. He will convict the world of sin. We'll come back to that. Singular. He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness, holiness, and of judgment, like coming judgment. Okay? Of sin, he'll convict them, the Holy Spirit will, because they do not believe in me. Okay, so probably when he says he'll convict them of sin, he's talking about the Spirit convicting unbelievers that they're not saved. The reason you and I can't get anybody saved is because only the Holy Spirit can convict them of their sin of unbelief. Singular, unbelief. He will convict them of the sin of unbelief because they do not believe in me, of righteousness, holiness. See, Jesus was saying, no, no, no. You're accusing me of being sinful. I'm not sinful. I'm righteous. I'm holy. No, you were born of fornication, Jesus. No, no, no. I was born of a virgin. I'm perfect. I'm holy. I'm God. Man, they went bananas. Jesus argued his own righteousness, but when he would be gone, the Spirit would argue with people. He will convict the world of holiness, that Jesus is who he said he is and does what he says he does. He's the Spirit shows. Listen, I can prove this to you. This is from a personal experience. When I was unsaved, I told you the story when I was looking through the back door of the factory and seeing all the men sing Amazing Grace a cappella, right? Literally, in my mind, it's like the Holy Spirit of God said, Bob, you've got what that guy behind you cursing at those men. You've got what he's got. You don't have what they have. What did that imply? It implies they had something I didn't have. They were holy, and I wasn't holy. Who was doing that in my mind and heart? The Holy Spirit of God. No, who else could be doing that? I'm a lost man. I'm unsaved. I don't know God. But the Spirit is saying, Bob, they've got something. They're higher than you. You've always been thinking you're such a great person. Look it. You can see what you really are. You really are evil. You're a sinner. You don't measure up to these guys that are singing the praises of God. He convicted me of the righteousness of God and of Christ. The Spirit of God did. He says, I'm going to do this because I go to my Father and you see me no more. You've got to have him because you're not going to have me here. Hey, aren't you thankful that the Spirit is with us 24/7? 365, yes. I'm going to convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. I'm going to convict them of the coming judgment because the ruler of this world, who's the ruler of this world when Jesus was standing on earth? Satan, still the same today, is judged. Satan is judged. When was he judged? When Jesus died on the cross and he rose again, Satan was judged. You say, how's that, Pastor Bob? He's doomed. Question. If Jesus didn't go through with the crucifixion, or if Jesus didn't get, Jesus didn't rise from the dead, would Satan be doomed? No. He would take every single human being to an eternal hell. But when the cross occurred and when the resurrection occurred, Satan fell like lightning from heaven. He was doomed. When that happened, the veil in the temple when Jesus died, it was torn in two. God did amazing, amazing things. All right? So, when the Spirit came, notice when Jesus said here, and when He, the Spirit, has come, that's future, has come, okay? When did that take place, everybody? When did the Spirit come? At Pentecost, when He came down like fire on the heads of the people, symbolizing that He was there. Okay? So let's go through these real quickly, and then we'll get to the end of the message. There's just three points here, and we've already talked about them. Next slide. The Holy Spirit convicts people to show them they're still in their sins because they do not believe in Me. Next. To show them that Jesus is good and of God, of righteousness, because I go to My Father. And then third, to show them that judgment awaits them, of judgment, because Satan is judged. I'm going to convict them of coming judgment because, look, if you destroy the general of the army, what have you done to his troops? You've basically destroyed his troops. They're doomed. They don't have the leader anymore. Okay? And that's what happened. When Satan got doomed, now God's still allowing him to function in the world, but he's doomed. He's going down for the count. Okay? He's going down for the count. All right? So those are the three things that he convicts the world of. All right? I got an interesting story here. The man's name, he's a business owner in Craigmont, Idaho. He owns a carpet cleaning business. By the way, isn't that beautiful? That's a picture. I looked it up on the internet. I said, I wonder what Craigmont, Idaho looks like. And boy, that's a nice backyard. That's a nice view out of your backyard. Man. Well, anyway, he owned the carpet cleaning business. And as Mr. Kingsley went around to the different homes all over this quaint place called Claremont, Idaho, these people had pets. Everybody has a pet up there in Idaho. And dogs, cats, all kinds. Well, anyway, he would get all the lights off in the house, and he'd pull out his black light. You know what a black light is. You know, it's the kind that if you have a dark room and you smile, all you see is teeth, right? Well, you know what? Black lights in a dark room, when you turn them on and you point them at carpeting, it reveals, I'm going to call it, leftover doggy do resin. Basically, you turn on that lights, and every place the pet has peed that you couldn't see because it's in the carpeting or whatever, and he'd show them. He'd say, "Here, look at your carpets," and they'd be like, "Oh, bah, bah!" They'd be seeing everywhere dribbles, and then he'd say, "Well, look at this." He'd say, "Look at your sofa," you know, and they'd be getting the sofa on the side of the sofa, and sometimes even lampshades. And like one woman, he's showing them. She's like, "Stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Okay, okay. I don't care what it costs. Just clean it." And this other lady said, "She said, listen, I don't even want to stay in my own home anymore." After he shined the light, and this is what Mr. Kingsley. Apparently, he was a believer. Maybe he was a Bible fellowship teacher, a Sunday school teacher. He said, "Quote: the offense was there all the time. But it was invisible until the real light exposed it. It would have been cruel to show the customers the extent of their problem and then say, 'Too bad for you,' and walk away. I brought the light so that they might desperately want My cleaning services." The Holy Spirit of God brings the light of God into the unbeliever's mind so that they might desperately want God's cleaning services. Do you understand, everyone? Without the Spirit of God, we're not getting anyone saved. You say, "Pastor Bob, why do you want us to pray, 'Come, Holy Spirit,' when we have church every week, when we have the football Sunday? Why do you want us, all of us, why do you need all of us saying, 'Lord, we need You, we need You, we need You'? Why? Because we need Him. Without Me, Jesus said, you can do nothing. Same thing's true of the Spirit. Without the Spirit, you and I can do nothing. We can't do anything that's of eternal value. Yeah, we could pay bills, we could go to work, so on and so forth, but not in a way that's really God's going to be able to use. He wants to use us every day in, day out. Hey, listen, you know what? Tomorrow you can wake up and say, "Lord, who do you want me to be a blessing to today?" Do you ever pray that? Who do you want me to bless? Who do you want me to tell about You? We ought to do it every day and ask for opportunities. All right? We need that, everyone. Okay, so that's the Spirit's ministry to unbelievers in a nutshell. There's more in the Bible, but because of time, we just can't go into all the nuances. There's other things, I'm sure, that we could find, but I'm giving you the big ones. Okay, I like this next slide. This is the Spirit's ministry to believers. You say, Pastor Bob, what's that? It's barbecued ribs. Is there anybody in this room, don't raise your hand because I don't want to faint, that doesn't like barbecued ribs? I know there is. Okay. But don't raise your hand because I'll be disappointed. But man, there's nothing better than those falling off the bone barbecue ribs. You know, Kelly and I and Jamie and Charlotte went recently up to McKinney because there's a place in McKinney we really like up there. And we went up there. Oh, my goodness. And then on top of it, oh, my goodness, they have free, Kelly, help me, peach cobbler. And what's the other one? Banana pudding. Free! All you can eat. Just eat. Just eat the whole pan of peach cobbler. Just eat it all. You know? And Jamie did. Jamie ate the whole pan. But anyway, listen, you say, Pastor Bob, what do barbecued ribs have to do with the Spirit's ministry for the believers? I'll tell you. Okay, put the next slide up. Ribs. Ribs. You can remember that, right? R-I-B-S. Okay, here's an easy way for you to remember. You can amaze all your friends with your Bible knowledge. Okay, put up the first one. What does the Holy Spirit do to believers at the moment of salvation? He regenerates us. Remember? By the washing of regeneration. So the very moment you get saved, you get ribs spiritually. Spiritual barbecued ribs. You get regenerated. That means He gives you eternal life. You get God's life. And God's life is eternal life. He's going to live forever. You get His life. If you get eternal life, you'll live forever just like God lives forever. Next, you get indwelt. Look at all those scriptures. The Holy Spirit comes to live within inside of us. Listen, if you guys believe that a lot stronger, you and I wouldn't do a lot of the things that we do when nobody's watching. Okay? Now, I wish I could say, Ridgepoint, I know that you don't do anything when nobody's watching. But you know what? I'm a pastor, and I know better. Okay? All right. I know better than that because I know me and I know. Okay, so look, He's in there. We're carrying Him around with us. We get that in our brains, it'll change our lives. Third, ribs. Regenerate, indwells, He baptizes us, not water. Hey, I'm going to teach you something about the New Testament. Whenever it's talking about getting baptized in water, it has in the name of the Lord or in the name of the Lord Jesus or in the name of Jesus. When you read Acts and he says they were baptized in the name of Jesus, it's talking about this kind of baptism. Water baptism doesn't save. This kind of baptism saves. This is Spirit baptism. As many as are baptized by one Spirit into one body. That's 1 Corinthians 12:13. We are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Spiritual. Romans chapter 6, spiritual baptism. Romans chapter 8, spiritual baptism. If any man does not have the Spirit of God, he's not God's. If any person does not have the Spirit of God, they're not God's. In other words, if he's not living in you, you're not saved. You say, Pastor Bob, I'm not sure he's living in me. Well, if you believe the gospel, if you believe the promise of God, John 3:16, John 6:47, he's living in you. You're not going to get a feeling, by the way. I'm going to come back to later in this study. The Holy Spirit witnesses with our spirit that we're the children of God. I'm going to prove to you it's not a feeling. Okay? That's not talking about he gives you the warm fuzzies. Or as the Mormons call it, the burning in the bosom. Boy, listen, if a Mormon believes he got the burning in the bosom, man, I'm telling you, you're going to have a hard time winning that guy to the Lord. Because you know what they'll say? I had an experience and you can't tell me it wasn't real. By the way, I'm going to show you that we need to test the spirits. Test the spirits, because many spirits have gone out into the world. False teachers. How do you test them? That's going to be one of our messages. Okay, regenerates, indwells, baptizes. What's the fourth letter in ribs? Seals. We get sealed by the Spirit. Okay, these are all things. I could preach whole sermons on each of these, but I'm just giving you a primer because I don't have time to preach sermons on all these basic ones. What are some of the other ones? Next slide. Let me give you a few more, okay? this is kind of crude, but these next three are the letters G-A-S. So if you eat too many ribs, okay, no, okay. Anyway, guarantees, G, he guarantees, we saw that last week, he guarantees our inheritance. Hey, this is good, good stuff. Okay, what else? Next, he adopts us. And by the way, I'm probably going to do a message on this, maybe, because adoption is more than what we think of adoption nowadays. Listen to me. Wait for it. Nowadays, if you adopt, somebody just becomes part of your family. They're your children. Now, has that happened to all of us? Yes, John 1:12. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, the sons of God, even to those who believe in his name. Yeah, we become adopted into his family, but this word is more powerful. Huiothesia. And it means adopted and placed into the will for an inheritance. When you get saved, listen, you don't just become a member of God's family. You know what God says? I'm going to give you, I'm putting you in my will, and you're getting an eternal inheritance. You'll live with me forever. You'll have wonderful things. You'll have joy. No more tears, no more sorrows. That's all part of the general inheritance. Now, in this series, you get your name and you get the inheritance the moment you believe. See, the moment of salvation, you get it. You get your name, you're an heir of God. But Romans 8:17 says, we're all heirs of God. Listen to me. But joint heirs with Jesus, co-heirs. Do you want just the inheritance that every child of God's getting? Or do you want to share in Jesus' inheritance from the Father? We're co-heirs with Christ if we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Wow. Heirs of God, but joint heirs with Jesus if we are willing to follow him, to suffer for his sake, to suffer shame, suffer humiliation, let people make fun of you, let people mock you, let people, you know what I mean, to suffer with him, taking the hits for Jesus, taking the hits even on your wallet, because, you know, there's all kinds of sacrifices and all kinds of things that you do for him that cost you, but it'll be well worth it when we see Jesus. It'll be worth it all. Okay, so basically we're done for the day. But I told you, I said, I'm going to give you the carrot on the stick in front of, you know, the animal that's chasing the carrot. I want to get you thirsty for what's to come. So here's some of the things that are to come, okay? Oh, I forgot the last one. G-A-S, spiritual gift. Guarantees, adopts, spiritual gift. Every one of us, listen, the moment you get saved, you get that spiritual gift. I'm going to do maybe two or three Sundays on spiritual gifts, okay? Okay, next slide. This is the last one, okay? Go ahead, pop that on there. The Spirit's ministry to believers after salvation. We need them all throughout our lives. What are you going to speak on in the weeks ahead, Pastor? How the Spirit gives us victory over sin. It's through the Spirit, Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8. How does the Spirit transform us, 2 Corinthians 3? What is the filling of the Spirit? They were filled with the Spirit. What is the anointing of the Spirit? 1 John 2:20, you are anointed with the Spirit. What is the power of the Spirit? Talks about, well, what's the filling and what's the power? Okay, we need to know what these are. What is the blasphemy of the Spirit? Jesus says, if a person, and by the way, a Christian cannot commit this sin, because they would go to hell, that can't happen. So, but unbelievers can blaspheme. They can speak about the Holy Spirit in such a heinous way that Jesus says it'll never be forgiven. We're going to talk about healing. The Bible talks about the Spirit and people being healed. What does it say? What doesn't it say? Because you got a whole group of Christianity that says God's will for everybody is to be completely healed right now and to be free. And if you don't get healed, you didn't have faith in God. That's not what the Bible teaches. So what does it teach about the Holy Spirit and healing? We'll do at least one Sunday on that. And then testing the spirits. Okay, I think I wrote one down too that I forgot to put up there. Hang on, just one more. Oh, I already said it. The gifts of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to do some weeks on that. So those are just some of them. And how many is that? That's like about 8-9 weeks. So yeah, we're talking a couple of months, maybe through March, you know. And I've got some great news for you, everybody. August 4th this year in 2019 is going to be our 30th anniversary Sunday. Ridgepoint Fellowship started in Tim Lee, the evangelist Tim Lee's TV studio in Garland, packed to the gills in that little TV studio. It started on August 6th, 1989, and Ben Jordan and Ernestine Jordan, Ben Jordan was the pastor, his wife Ernestine, they were the church leaders, and he pastored for, you know, he was with Ridge Point for a couple of years, then Earl Little was with us a couple of years, and then after Earl, I was Earl's associate, and so the church hired me to be the senior pastor, and so now I've been with you for 120 years. So, anyway, so Ben is an amazing speaker, he's an amazing man, and Brother Cook called, I asked Brother Cook to call Ben Jordan, I said, Brother Cook, call Ben and see if the church flies Ben and Ernestine in. I think, Jim, are they in Tennessee? Kentucky. I said, if we fly them in on August 4th, see if they can come on the 30th anniversary Sunday. We're going to have a dinner on the grounds, okay? We're going to eat here. We're going to have a big shindig after church. We're just going to celebrate. We're going to get out all the praise and worship music from the 90s that we did, all the oldies. And we're going to do ones that when Ben and Ernestine were, it's going to be wonderful. I'm going to get Lord willing, Mark O'Brien to come and play keyboard. Madeline will still play, but we'll get another keyboard for Mark to play, an electronic keyboard, because he was good at playing the synthesizer. We'll try to get people. And you know what, folks? I think that we'll have an overflowing crowd on that day because Ben had a lot of people that loved him and he ministered to their lives. But anyway, that's coming up in August. And of course, next month, Football Sunday, we've got other things we're planning. We're going to have a big planning meeting this Saturday. But just some of the things to come. This is going to be a great year. And everybody, at the end of the, if you don't get my prayer list in your email, I don't have your email. Or else, like Godfrey, I had Godfrey's, and he put his name at Ymail. And for whatever reason, I looked at it, and I thought it said Gmail. So I realized that, Godfrey, I put your name in the list 3 months ago, but I didn't see Ymail. I thought it said Gmail. Oh, yeah, he said it's Ymail. Okay. So I might have, if you gave it to me and you're not getting it, there's something funky going on, give it to me again, let me know. But at the end of every one of the prayer lists at the bottom, right before I put Pastor Bob at the bottom, I put, pray that 2019 will be our most fruitful and God-glorifying year. Because that's what we want. We want to glorify God. And again, you know what, everybody? Sometimes what glorifies God isn't necessarily filling every single seat in the church. Now, I'm like you. I want to see every seat filled, but I'm just saying, we got to wait on God. We got to follow God, seek Him with all of our hearts. But I'm just saying, 2019, let that be the prayer of all of our hearts. Lord, this year, let this be the most God-glorifying. Hey, wouldn't it be awesome if in our 30th year, it would be the most God-glorifying and fruitful year we ever had? That's what we want. That's what we want. And without him, we can do nothing. Let's bow our heads for prayer, everybody. Thank you so much for all the attention you gave today. It's great. Father in heaven, we pause in your holy presence this morning, and we praise you for the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But Lord, not only that, all these blessings, Lord, that you give to us. And Lord, in the next 2 or 3 months, we bow before you as your people, and we just pray that our lives would be transformed in a powerful way, Lord. I'm not saying that we'll all start yelling or screaming or anything like that, Lord. I'm talking about where we will have a deep and meaningful encounter with God Almighty, with the Spirit of God. And He really gets a hold of our minds and hearts, and it changes how we function in this world. It changes how we treat unbelievers. It changes how we treat one another, our spouses, our children, our grandchildren, our co-workers, our neighbors. They begin to start seeing the Spirit of God through us, and they feel the love of God. They feel humility from us. They feel tenderness and compassion. They feel something that warms their hearts, and they say, I want that. That person's different than everybody I know. Everybody I know, they're bragging. They're just a bunch of arrogant fools, and they're just bragging. And that person is so sweet and humble and kind and merciful and gentle and loyal. Lord, without You, there's no fruit of the Spirit. Spirit of God, we need You. We beg You today in our hearts to come and transform us. And Lord, the folks that weren't able to be here, either like Madeline and Myra, who has bronchitis, Myra, others, Lord, they're just sick today. But Lord, there's others that aren't here because, Lord, they're playing games, Lord. We pray that You'll convict them, Lord, to hear Your voice. But Lord, all of us, help us not to be stubborn. Help us not to contend with You. Help us not to strive with You. Help us to obey You and to do what You call us to do. And Lord, I pray for all of us, myself, our leaders, and all the people that will all be together in this. We want transformation by God Almighty. And we pray in the matchless name of Jesus, and all of God's people said, amen. All right, everyone. All right, we'll look forward to seeing you at Life Group on Wednesday, every time there's a